وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. We are discussing the life of the Messenger of Allah. First, because of the fact that Allah has asked us to take him as an example. And he has said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, that the Messenger of Allah is the best example for you to follow. And hence, if you want to follow the Prophet, then we must know about him. We must know his history. Unfortunately, many of us don't know the accurate history of the Prophet. We just know certain incidents that occurred in his lifetime here and there. And these incidents are like unconnected dots that really do not give us the complete picture of the life of the Prophet and what he stood for and what Islam wanted to teach us. And that's why many of us, even though we know of these incidents that we heard so many times in speeches, cannot really get the lessons that are deserving of those incidents. And this is why we took the time here in this month of Ramadan to make this month useful for us, in order that we learn the history of the Prophet and that we can learn lessons and gain lessons from this history. And as we are learning the history, we are going into the ancestors of the Prophet, in order that we are able to come onto the Prophet himself. And the reason it's important to learn regarding the ancestors of the Prophet is the fact that Allah, whenever He does something, there is a plan behind things. And all these little things that are being done and little things that are being, accomplished by many people before the Prophet even came. And we will see many examples of these things, that when we look at all of these things that happen, we'll see examples of them, that how they contributed to the appearance of the Prophet. The coming of the Prophet wasn't an accident. It wasn't accidental that lo and behold, you know, the Prophet is born accidentally in the Arabs, and hence he had to deal with the Arabs and that's how it went forward. It wasn't like that. Nothing that Allah does is ever like that. Everything that Allah does has a plan, and that plan has many facets and many small details that are being brought together in such a delicate way, in such a subtle way, that when you actually look at the end result, you see, you are just in awe as to how this all came about. And it came about in such a beautiful way. This is why, when we are looking at the ancestors, we are looking at these things that are happening, these things are not, for example, random events that are happening. These are all planned by Allah. Now Allah knows the plan, we don't. We don't know the plan, how it's going to turn out. It's Allah who knows the plan, but there are people who actually trust Allah. And because they trust Allah, Allah also gives them, meaning the people who trust Him, Allah gives them the tawfiq, the blessing to carry out His message. And this is what we learn from the ancestors of the Prophet. When you look at, for example, Hashim trusted Allah and said that he knew that the light that he possessed was a light that was given as a trust from Allah. It was a trust from Allah. He trusted Allah. When you see Abd Manaf, he trusted Allah. He put his trust in Allah. When you look at, for example, Qusay, he trusted Allah. All of them. And now when we come to Abdul Muttalib, we see that he trusted Allah. And hence Allah gave them the blessing of carrying out his message, being a part of his plan. My friends, do not be afraid of being a part of something big. Do not be afraid of being a part of something great. Most of us, the only reason that we are not a part of something great is because of the fears that we have in ourselves. Unfounded fears that we have in ourselves lead us to live a mediocre life and die without being a part or reaching our potential and being a part of something greater. This is what happens to most people on earth. Nothing is stopping them from being great or a part of being great. No one is holding them back. It's them, their own self, who are unable, people who are unable to do things because of the fear that they have. When we look at the ancestors of the prophet, this is what we learn from them. They did not have that fear. They didn't have those doubts. They went forward with full strength, complete confidence that Allah is planning and I'm just a part of something that I'm doing. I'm just putting a drop of water. I don't know how far that drop of water can go. La ilaha. And we will learn more about this. We come to Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib now became the chief of Makkah at the age of 14. He became the chief of Makkah, the ruler of the Arabs. People regarded him as big. He established his rule by making ties with Bani Khuza'a and creating an alliance with Bani Khuza'a. I spoke of this yesterday and how far this alliance went in helping Islam grow. Now, when we see one day Abdul Muttalib, he's still young, met an old wise man. In those days, you know, you had a lot of old wise men. There was a reason behind it. Not that they didn't, he's saying that they had time then, right? Actually, we have more time than then, right? You know, they didn't have microwaves then. Right? So that shows that we have more time. Right. So the fact is that an old wise man met Abdul Muttalib and he said that, may I take a look at you? You know, just come closer, I want to take a look at you. You know, I want to touch you. Abdul Muttalib at first was like, you're not going to touch me. You know? I don't care if you're old and wise. You're not going to touch me. He said, no, just your nose, he said. He said, just your nose. We see it, your nose. Him being an elder, so Abdul Muttalib was still young. He's like, okay. He looked at him, and the old wise man said to him that it is true. He said, it is true that that both prophethood, nabuwat, and kingdom is with you. You hold both prophethood and you hold the kingdom with you. La ilaha illallah. But you will have to share it with Bani Zuhra. Now, Bani Zuhra is another tribe. Right? Now, Abdul Muttalib, obviously, you know, he did not have ilmul ghaib, even though that he was, according to hadith, one of the awsiya, successors of Ismail. Right? But he did not have ilmul ghaib. So, you know, he thought that, you know, he needed to marry into Bani Zuhra. So he went and got a wife from Bani Zuhra, right? But that wasn't what the old man had meant. Maybe it will come up sometime, right? As to what he actually meant by that. But he, when he heard that, when this came about, and obviously this was something that Abdul Muttalib had heard, and there were many oracles, many astrologers. And astrology was a valid science then. Not now, it's not a valid science. It is all fraudulent right now. But back then, it was real for a reason. And that reason, again, will come up as we speak about history. When this was a valid science then, people used to actually say the truth when they used to talk about what's going to happen with you or some reality about you that other people will not know according to the apparent knowledge that exists. So what happened is that when he heard this, and other people also heard this, and Abdul Muttalib was a hero amongst the Arabs for many reasons, but one of the factors is that he was a very sagacious and very kind and very wise person, even though he was young in age. But his wisdom really blew everyone out of the water. They really were akin to him and they really were attracted to him. That was Abdul Muttalib. He was like that. And they really respected him for that. So now what he did is that in order to consolidate himself, first of all, he made an alliance with his own family. He wanted to keep relationship with them. You know that the past, his uncles, meaning that his father and his uncles, they did not get along. You knew about the two twins and how they were separated. Hashim on one side, Abdul Shams on the other side, and the foretelling of their animosity and the conflict that they will have between themselves. That was another attribute. So now he wanted to really establish a friendship with his cousins. So the cousin that he needed to reach out to was by the name of Harb. Harb was the son of Umayyah. Umayyah is the son of Abdul Shams. Well, the adopted son of Abdul Shams. Umayyah, from which Bani Umayyah comes. His son Harb. The son of Harb is Abu Sufyan. And you know the rest. So now, what Abdul Muttalib did is that he wanted to make friendship with Harb. Because Umayyah had challenged his father. Umayyah had challenged Hashim. And he said that, listen, why should Hashim be the ruler? Why should Abd al-Manaf be the ruler? I should be the ruler also. I have the right to rule. So on Hashim on one side and Umayyah on the other side. So now what happened is that since this was a dispute, the way disputes were solved in the society at that time is that they used to go to two astrologers. They would put them as judges and they would ask them, okay, you decide between us, who do you think shall have the right to rule? So Umayyah challenged Hashim. And so the case went to the astrologers. When it went to the astrologers saw that, and you know, obviously the decision was very easy. Hashim on one side, Umayyah on the other side. They told Umayyah, come on, are you for real? Are you going to challenge him? You know, look at him. He's Hashim. He is deserving. You're not. He's a winner. You're a loser. So now, before they went to the challenge, Hashim accepted it on one condition. Hashim said that, listen, Umayyah, you're challenging me, right? If we go there, if I lose, I will give you 100 camels, red camels. I told you how expensive they are, right? Red camels, I'll give you 100 red camels. But if you lose, then you will be banned from Makkah for 10 years. So what happened is that since Umayyah lost, he was banned from Makkah for 10 years. He went to Sham and lived there, and he died in those 10 years. Now his son Harb, who was in Makkah, when he was in Makkah, this was in Abdul Muttalib's time. When his son was in Makkah, Harb, Abdul Muttalib reached out to him and maintained good familial ties with him in order that they become close and they remain close. They don't fight each other. Even though the sparks of hatred were already there. Now this went on, it lasted until one unfortunate incident happened. And that incident was that the neighbor of Abdul Muttalib was a Jewish person who was a very well-off and wealthy individual. And two men robbed his house. Two men robbed his house, and while robbing the house, while taking away stuff, they also killed him. They killed the Jewish neighbor. And they ran away from there and they took refuge in the house of Harb. Meaning Harb gave them refuge in his house. Now he knew what was going on. He knew the whole plan and he was okay with it and he gave them refuge in his house. When the morning came and the cries and bewailing occurred, obviously Abdul Muttalib is the neighbor next door. He hears the crying and all that, so he inquires what's going on. They said that this person was robbed and he was killed. Now, to Abdul Muttalib, who was a wise person and a very just person, even though his neighbor might be a Jew, but still, you know, he will defend the rights of whoever's rights have been taken, and he is the ruler of Makkah. So right away he said, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And he came and found out that the two men who killed the Jewish neighbor and robbed him were hiding in the house of Harb. So he went to Harb and said, listen, those two men are criminals. They need to be brought to justice and you better give over those two men over to me. Harb was like, no, I'm not going to do that. This is my honor. They took refuge in my house and hence that's not happening. We are not going to give up these two men, and if you want them, then you are going to disrespect me by taking them by force. Now, on one hand, you see, Abdul Muttalib was left with the choice of, okay, I need to keep ties with Harb, who's my cousin, and on the other hand, I need to bring about justice. So, Abdul Muttalib, with that choice in hand, made the choice of bringing about justice. And he said that, you know what, I can't help it, I'm the ruler and I'm responsible before God and I must bring about justice. So he brought about justice, got those two men, and obviously whatever punishment took place. But then Harb, on the other hand, and the family of Harb, which is Bani Umayyah, they all felt disrespected that their own cousin, Abdul Muttalib, would not honor their own respect, would not keep their honor, and went against their honor, and they felt disrespected, and hence that led to more of an animosity and hatred between the family. So this is one of those things that Abdul Muttalib had to deal with throughout his life. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, as we go forward, mostly when we look at this, Abdul Muttalib was a person who, because of his piety, because of his straightforwardness, his candidness, and his true boldness in leadership, and also strict enforcement of the code of conduct that has been taught by Ismail and his children. And he always referred to that and said that this is where we come from and this is our deen and this is our practice. He was like that. One day, my friends, here is where we come to actual things that happen. Now, many incidents in his life I will not mention because they're not related to the Prophet, believe it or not. Incidents that you haven't heard are related to the Prophet's life and his mission. Incidents that are not related to the Prophet and his mission and what's going to happen to his life, I will not mention. For example, the incident of Abraha. Abraha and what happened with Abraha's attacking of the Kaaba has nothing to do with Prophet and his mission. It is just an incident that happened and went by, but that has nothing to do with the mission of the Prophet and what the Prophet was about and what he's going to come to. But the incidents that actually were important for that, we are going to discuss that. Send us salawats. One day, Abdul Muttalib was sleeping on his seat of power, which is near the Kaaba. You know, they had a seat there for the chief of Makkah, and he used to sit there, and no one else would sit there except for him. And one day he was taking a nap in the daytime, which is a normal habit for the Arabs and the people in the Middle East. They take a siesta in the afternoon, right, after lunch, right, go to sleep. So now what happened is that Abdul Muttalib was taking his siesta, and in that siesta he saw a dream. In that dream he saw that a voice came to him and told him to go and free Tiba. Just like that. Go and free Tiba. He asked, "Where's Tiba? Where's Tiba?" And that's it. The voice went away. No answer. He woke up. He was like confused, thinking, "What is Tiba? What is that?" Then again, next day, same time, he went to sleep and he saw a dream. And in that dream, again, the voice came back and he said, and that voice told him that go and uncover Barra. Another random name, Barra. You know, looked at that, Barra. Okay, what is that? He asked in the dream, what is Barra? No answer. The voice went away. Again, he woke up and he's now confused. What's going on here? Third day came. And Abdul Muttalib had a dream again. And in that dream, the same voice came back and said, listen, unseal Madnoon. Another random name, Madnoon, right? So now what happened that when he saw this random name, again, he says, what's Madnoon? The voice went away. Now, my friends, the fourth day, it came. And this time, the voice, you know, said, uncover Zamzam. And he woke up. He's like, what is Zamzam? At first he asked. Because you see, understand this. Zamzam has been buried for thousands of years. No one even knew that it existed. It was like in tales. Long tales, you know, that, you know, this happened with our forefather Ismail, and there was a well that was made, and it was Zamzam, it came about, and this and that. After that, it was finished. Zamzam wasn't existing for thousands of years. Bani Jurham had buried it. And you know the history, I told you about that a few days ago. So when it was buried, no one even knew of its existence. When the voice said, release Zamzam, Abdul Muttalib did not understand that. He said, what is Zamzam? What is this Zamzam? And then when he woke up, he started thinking about it. He said, Zamzam, isn't that the name of the well in the time of Ismail? And this was the well that was brought about by miracle? Then he was like, maybe that's what it's talking about. Zamzam wasn't existing then, in the time of Abdul Muttalib. Now when Abdul Muttalib saw this dream, the fifth day, when he went to sleep and he saw the voice again, he heard the voice again, this time the voice became clear and audible and it told him, listen, Allah has given you the tawfiq and the blessing of uncovering the well of Zamzam, which is going to feed his guest, Allah's guest, until the day of judgment. So Abdul Muttalib, you have that honor. You have that blessing. And now when they said that, right away he asked, where is it? Where is it? Where should I dig? Where should I dig? I said, dig where the white crows are eating the termites. This part, Abdul Muttalib understood. Because he stays in the Kaaba every day, and there are some crows with white beaks that come every day to a place where there are termites, and they would sit on those termites, a hill of ants and termites that was there, and they would eat at that. Abdul Muttalib used to see that every day. And the voice is saying, dig there. So when Abdul Muttalib got this command, right away he felt a sense of destiny. That, wow, I have been given this order. He goes to where? To his family. He goes to his family and announces it there that I have been told to dig up the well of Zamzam. Come and help me and let us all get the honor of doing that. He gave this big speech full of hype and everything, and everyone just heard it. You know, he was like all excited. He came there in front of his whole family, gathered them. This is it, everyone. We are going to go and dig well, Zamzam. Come with me. He turned around, looked back, and they all looked at him. And all of a sudden, all together, they started laughing. Started laughing. He said, are you crazy? Are you... What's going on with you? Are you in the heat too long? Is the sun bothering you? You know, what's your problem? He said, the Zamzam, we're going to go and dig it, and it's going to be ours, this and that. They just looked at him and all laughed. They just laughed at it. My friend, la ilaha illallah. You know, history is 2020 for us, right? Imagine you being there, and I come to you with a crazy treasure map. Says, hey, listen, let's go out and dig some treasure for us, right? You know, like, again, what would you say? You say, well, maybe the fasting is too long. You're not eating as much. What's going on with you, you know? I mean, really, how many of us would say, all right, let's go and do it? How many of us would actually do that? You see, this is an important point for us to stop and reflect. How many of us will follow a very crazy idea? And you know what? Whenever Allah wants any one of His servants to do something great, it always is crazy in the eyes of people. Imagine Nuh making a ship in the valley. Which intelligent person would do that? Make a ship in the valley, right? There are mountains all around, there's no sign of water. And he's making this ship there, right? Yeah, people are looking at him, you say, we knew he lost it, you know? There's proof of that, right? I mean, this is how people react. See that, my friend? Understand this very well. When great things are going to happen, it always looks crazy in the eyes of the world. It always looks unreal. It always looks unmanageable. It always looks too big. We can't do it. It's way too big for us. It's way beyond our means. Great things happen, they always are crazy. And this is what Abdul Muttalib came with an idea. He thought that it would make perfect sense for everyone. Remember the Zamzam well that our forefather Ismail had dug up and it was there as a miracle? We have the chance to dig it. I was given the command in my mind, in my dream. This is where we have to dig. And you know what? If they all dug together, maybe they could have dug it in one day. But you know what? No one came. No one came to help Abdul Muttalib. He went forward alone with his only son, Haris. At that time, he only had one son by the name of Harris. Right? He said, son, let's go. And son, obviously, you know, can't disrespect the father. So he said, all right, father, let's go. So he went with his father and they started digging. They started digging in the heat of the day, in the summer days. You know it's hot then. And they're not used to digging, you know, they're not diggers. You know, he's the chief of Makkah. He lives a well-off life. You know, it's like you're living in an AC and all of a sudden, you know, you have to do lawn mowing. You know, I used to lawn mowing, hire someone, right? And that's what happens. We're not used to it. And so they started digging and it's hot and it's hard. Abdul Muttalib feels the heat. He is alone with his son, young son, not even 10 years old. And both of them are working, and in that heat, he is tired and exhausted. He feels solitude. He feels no one is there to help him. He's the chief of Makkah and no one wants to listen to him. On one hand, most of his relatives are his enemies, Harb and his family. And those who are with him, they don't want to listen to him. Then he just looks at his own pathetic state that he was in. No helpers. No one there to help him. So all of a sudden something comes over his mind. He makes his way not too far from the Kaaba. Right there. The Kaaba is right in front. Right? They're digging. The Kaaba is right in the front. He goes to the Kaaba. He holds the drape of the Kaaba and says, Ya Allah, I'm lonely. I'm lonely. Allah, I want to make an oath with you. If you give me 10 sons, then I will sacrifice one of them for you. He asked for 10 sons because he saw his loneliness. And in that moment, he made this dua, he made this oath, this nadhar, this mannat, whatever you call it, right? An oath. Give me 10 children, give me 10 sons, and I will sacrifice one of them for you. And he made that, and he went back digging. He went back digging. Now, obviously, he dug there with his son. For days they dug until they came almost to the end. When they came to the end, almost when the water was about to be broken into, there was a hard stench that came from inside. A horrible stench that sent his son running up. And Abdul Muttalib also for a minute was ready to run out of there. It was so bad, the smell was so stinking bad that he just wanted to run out of there. But then this was Abdul Muttalib. You see, when things get tough, you know, people Allah chose, they don't run away. His son went away, but he didn't. He stayed, no, I'm going to stay here. Because if this is what Allah wanted me to do, I'm going to do this. And he dug one more time, two more times, until that stench turned into a beautiful fragrance. When he smelled that fragrance, it was so good, so pleasing, that he lay down there. He lay down there and he just closed his eyes. He closed his eyes, and when he closed his eyes, just was knocked out. He was just so pleased with it. You know, it's like, for example, you come from a very difficult place to a very pleasing place. You feel like relaxed. You feel so relieved that, you know what, any sort of lying down will put you to sleep. That's what happened with him. He went to sleep, and this is where Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says now, this hadith is from him. He says that when my grandfather, great-grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, went to sleep in digging the well of Zamzam, there he heard the voice again. And that voice that came to him said, Abdul Muttalib, you are about to uncover the well of Zamzam. And you will be the one who will feed the Hajis and the guests of Allah when they come here. But with this, you are going to also uncover certain things. There will be gold that you will spend on the haram, on the house of Allah, and in there are 13 swords that are buried here. 13 swords. This is what Imam Sadiq I'm saying, right? 13 swords that are buried here, and these swords, one of them is for the last messenger, and 12 of them is for the 12 Imams who will come after him. And you will give this to them, and they will give to one another as they come. These are the 13 swords that are in there. And he says, the 12 swords for the Imam, he says that don't worry about the 12th one, it will disappear. It will disappear, you will not find it, do not worry. Because when the last of the Imams will reappear and they will come back by Allah's will, he will bring the sword with him, and that sword will be what will be used by him in carrying out the command of Allah. 13 swords. And then he says that there will be golden deers, you know, deers that were made of gold. He says, take those deers out. And on the horns of that deer, will be written, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, Aliyun Waliyullah wa Fulanun Khalifatullah. People asked to Imam Sadiq that, Imam, we understand La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Aliyun Waliyullah, that's all clear, but what is this Fulanun Khalifatullah? I mean, you know what Fulan means, right? Unknown. The unknown is the representative of Allah. He says that Fulanun Khalifatullah is the last of the Imams who will be in hiding, and he will reappear after many years in order to establish the rule of Allah. That will be Imam Mahdi, ajallallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. So many things happened then. This is Imam Sadiq saying. Then a black snake came out and attacked Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib used one of the swords to strike it. It injured it and went away. And Imam Sadiq says that black snake will linger until the last Imam will come, and it will fight against the truth and fight against righteousness and Islam until the Imam comes and kills it once and for all. That's another thing. Now, what is that snake and what it represents? Leave that aside, right? And then after that, Abdul Muttalib woke up, hit the well, the water sprang out, it came out, and from then onwards, the well of Zamzam was uncovered. What it means and how that happened, we'll see. The well was uncovered, people found out about it, and from that time till now, people there and everyone who goes there as the guest of Allah are taking benefit of the well of Zamzam. Everyone, even today you go there. This was that moment that Abdul Muttalib dug it up again. La ilaha illallah. Now, what happened? Abdul Muttalib dug the well came out, they went on to live, and Abdul Muttalib went on to have 16 children, 6 daughters and 10 sons. And when he had 10 sons, time came to fulfill his vow of sacrificing. He made the arrangement, called his children and said, listen, one of you will have to die. And they wrote down the names, they had straws. So they gave straws to everyone, picked the straws out, and the lucky one to die, whose name came up, was Abdullah, the youngest one at that time, the father of the Prophet. He was set to die, to be killed by Abdul Muttalib himself. How was he saved? We will discuss that tomorrow. Stay tuned. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path, wisdom to understand His guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam, make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad. All right, any questions, anyone? All right, obviously, we all do want you to come, but for some reason, if you cannot come, the speeches are live online also. You can go to livestream.com and Al-Walaya, right? You can go there and see the speeches live online. If just in case you're not able to make it, but we would like you all to come to the house of the Imam, inshallah, and take the blessings of being here. All right. Now let's get inshallah. Let's read ziyarat. Salawat. السلام عليك يا رسول الله يا حبيب الله يا خير خلق الله ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله يا ابن رسول الله يا حسين أيها الشهيد بكربلا ورحمة الله وبركاته Salaamu alayka ya sahib al-asri wa zaman, salaamu alayka maamana wa imama insa wal jan, ajalallahu ta'ala farajak wa sahalallahu ta'ala makhrajak wa dhahurak, salaamu alaykum jameel masumeen wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.